As we consider everything God has provided us to enable us to effectively make disciples of all nations and to help us to be built up as a body of Christ, aren't you glad that God wants to work through each one of us to impact people's lives in instrumental ways? You do know that, right? You know that God wants to use each and every person to touch others' lives so that others will know Him, will experience the reality of His love, His power, His goodness. And as we look in 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 7, God wants to work a manifestation of His Spirit through each one of us. The Apostle Paul writes that. He says, "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." Now what we're talking about here is that if you're a follower of Christ, that's saying that God wants to do something supernatural through every person. You're just not an ordinary, average person. You're a person who has been born into the kingdom of God, who has been given the Holy Spirit, whom God wants to use to move in you through, and He wants that Spirit to go out and minister to someone else through your life. So He's given each one of us. And earlier in our series on the spiritual gifts, I mentioned that there are 9 different gifts of the Spirit, what we call the manifestation gifts. And so quickly, I want to look at those. They're found in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." So this is something we need to understand. The reason that you are one of the each one that He's given a gift of the Spirit or wants to download a gift of the Spirit to and through is so that you can be a blessing to the rest of the body of Christ. Did you know that? See, the gifts of the Spirit are not so we can just sit on them and look good. And they're not for us. They're given to us, but we're just simply the transfer place to be able to minister to someone else. And so the manifestation gifts are given to each one of us so that we can be a blessing in the body to someone else. But actually, it's the one that the God is the one who's doing the blessing. You just simply become the conduit through which He transfers that blessing through. I'm getting a little echo, so this needs to come down just a little, please. So, let's look at these 9 gifts. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another, discernings of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these, distributing to each one individually as He wills." And so that means that the Holy Spirit is the one who determines what He wants done through each one of us. And what we need to understand about the manifestation gifts of the Spirit is a lot of people think that gifts of the Spirit just reside in a person. These gifts do not reside in a person. Now, I do believe because of their faith and their willingness to believe God for certain manifestations, I do believe God will consistently work through some people through the same manifestation gift at times, but it isn't something that constantly resides there. We learned that earlier in this series, right? The manifestation gifts are just that. As the Holy Spirit wills in a given moment that He wants to do something in someone's life, and then He wills that He wants you to be the person that He wants to do it through, He will impart that gift in that moment, and it will come, and then it will flow through you to the person that He wants to bless. That's how the manifestation gifts work. On the other hand, the motivational gifts are gifts that do reside and abide. These are in Romans chapter 12, like teaching, administration. There is a gift of prophecy that functions this way. Mercy, help, service, those kinds of gifts, those reside in a person. Those are what motivate you as a person if you have that gift, and that's the way God has equipped you to be a motivator of someone else in the body of Christ, to encourage them in some way. So these are the different ways that the gifts of the Spirit versus the spiritual gifts, the motivational gifts function. But as we look at this passage here on the nine manifestation gifts, what we need to again remember is they are given for the profit of all, not for our own personal benefit. Secondly, they are given as the Holy Spirit wills. And then finally, we can see that they are categorized in three different categories within this list. And this is the way many have categorized them. One group of three is what we call the revelation gifts. All right? The revelation gifts include a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. These gifts are given to the body of Christ to give us an awareness and understanding about the needs, conditions, and circumstances that we would not otherwise conceive or comprehend in the natural. So they're revelatory. They are given to know what to do or how to handle various circumstances that arise. They are the gifts of the Spirit that reveal something. Okay? Then there's the power gifts of the Spirit. These three include the gift of faith, gifts of healings, and workings of miracles. These gifts are given to strengthen, bring restoration to, and provide for the body of Christ through supernatural means. These are the gifts that do something. So the revelation gifts reveal something, the power gifts do something. And finally, there's the vocal, or what some call the unction gifts. This includes the three different kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. These gifts of the Spirit are given for the purpose of building up the church through exhortation, edification, and comfort. And these are the gifts of the Spirit that say or communicate something. So you see the different categories of the different gifts of the Spirit. We've already looked within our series on spiritual gifts at the revelation gifts in a previous message. And so if you didn't get a chance to hear that message, I would encourage you to listen to it on our website or to request a copy of a CD. So that if you are still not sure about that, that would be a good message to pick up to understand about the gifts that reveal something. Okay. But this morning what we're going to do is we're going to begin focusing on the power gifts of the Spirit. What we're going to do, however, is we're just simply going to look at one gift of those three, and that's the gift of faith. Before we look at that gift, however, it's important that we first understand how God's Word defines faith. As we've been ministering a little bit this morning, I've already shared with you, God does things through various means. And sometimes it can look like it's the same thing that's happening, but yet the way it's happening can function differently. That is the case in this realm of faith, if you will. And so I want us to look at what is faith exactly. Let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'm going to read this from the New King James Version. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let me say that again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm really excited this morning to teach this, because this is something that so many in the church are unaware of. They do not understand. And so I'm excited, and we'll try to take this as slow as we need to. If this needs to become two messages, and it probably will, we may do that. But I want you to get a hold of this concept of faith, because there are so many imbalances that exist in the church today, both on the extreme radical side versus the extreme quenching its side. So I want you to understand this whole concept of faith, all right? So first and foremost, we see here that faith has substance to it, right? Now, people are going to look at that like that. How is that possible? Substance. Because when we were taught in our science classes about substance or matter, it has space, it has weight. You know, substance is, you know, we can see, taste, touch, smell, and feel it, right? So how can that say faith is the substance? Faith isn't something you can see, taste, touch, smell, or hear, right? Have you ever felt faith before? Have you ever seen faith before? You've seen faith in action, but you've never seen faith. I can promise you, you've never seen faith. Okay? So faith is, but this says faith is substance of the things hoped for. But here's what we need to understand. The substance that is being talked about here is substance that actually exists in a person's heart. But now again, we're not talking about a physical heart. We're talking about the non-physical heart that the Bible talks about. The Bible talks a lot about the heart, does it not? You know, when you say somebody, "I love you with my whole heart," you're not taking your physical heart out of your chest and going, "Here, you can hold it and see." Right? So we realize we're not talking about something physical. And isn't it interesting that those that look at life from a natural plane, they only want to look at it from see, taste, touch, smell, and hear, and yet we have all kinds of concepts, if we really think about it, that are not natural or physical in nature. Okay? So this is not talking about physical substance. This is actually talking about spiritual substance, especially when you're talking about faith. Okay? So faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it's what's in the person's heart. Therefore, the substance is spiritual in nature. It's not physical in nature. And so faith is the spiritual substance that exists within a person's heart that believes they have already received something in the spiritual realm, even though they have not yet experienced it in the natural realm. Now that'll mess with your mind. Because you gotta realize that we as followers of Christ, we just don't live on a natural plane. See, the Bible says that we, when we were born again, were seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It says that we have received already every spiritual blessing in Christ, and that we have already received everything we need for life and godliness. Now, that's not just a nice little concept. That means that actually happened and is a real reality. But it is a spiritual reality, not a physical reality. It's real nonetheless. But the only way you can ever experience it is you're going to have to make a connection with it in the spiritual dimension. And the only way that you can get from this dimension to that dimension to lay hold of the reality that God says in Christ you have already received is this substance called faith. It's the means that gets you from earth to heaven. And then it's the substance that brings that which is in heaven back to earth. So we got to get a hold of this thing called faith. And so let me say this again. Faith is the spiritual substance that exists within a person's heart that believes they have already received something You have already received something in the spiritual realm. Even though you can't see, taste, touch, smell, or hear it. Okay? Now, the natural physical realm, listen, this is where hope comes in. See, many people mistake faith for hope and the other way around. But what you have to understand is faith relates to the spiritual realm. Even though hope is looking towards what's in the spiritual realm, it really relates with what exists in the natural realm. And so, faith says, I have received something already. And it's related to what I have received in the spiritual realm, or the kingdom of God, if you will. Hope, on the other hand, says, I am still waiting to receive something, right? And it relates to what one desires to receive in the natural realm, but they have not yet received. So, I'm waiting. Isn't that right? If you're hoping for something, you haven't received it yet, you're waiting to receive it in the natural. But faith says, I've already received it. But it's in the spiritual realm. Okay? See the difference? So faith is the spiritual substance that exists in our heart that believes we have received something in the spiritual realm that we have not yet received in the natural realm, but we are still hoping to receive in the natural realm. Let me say that again. Maybe I better say it slower. Faith is the spiritual substance that exists within our heart that believes we have received something in the spiritual realm that we have not yet received in the natural realm, but we are still hoping to receive in the natural realm. Okay? Now, this can refer to salvation. It can refer to healing. It can refer to finances. It can refer to many things. But let's just look at salvation right now, because I want you to be able to see how this really works, okay? How many of you have made the choice to turn from living for sin to living for Christ? So that you have put your faith in Christ and have declared with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. How many of you would say, yep, I've done that? Amen. Okay. All right, so based on doing what the Bible says in order to be saved, how many of you believe by faith that you are saved? Amen. Now, how many of you that have said you have received salvation have experienced that salvation in the natural realm by receiving the glorified body that the Bible says we are going to receive when Jesus comes back? Anybody ever experienced your salvation in the physical realm yet? So you've not actually seen it, tasted it, touched it, smelled it, but you're sitting here telling me you're saved. You're really going to tell me that? So then what you're saying is that by faith you believe you have received salvation through Christ in the spiritual realm, even though you're still wanting to receive it in the natural realm as of yet. That's what I'm talking about. That's how faith works. See, now if you understand that, and you can believe it for salvation, and you understand the difference between faith and hope, this is the beginning of you entering into receiving other things from God. But what's interesting is that where we have to wait to receive our salvation for when Christ returns in the physical, There are things that we can lay hold of in the spiritual dimension that if we know how to apply the principles of God's word, we can bring them from heaven to earth now. And that's what we're talking about. Healing, provision, those kinds of things. That's within our grasp. And that's what much of the church does not understand. They don't understand that salvation wasn't all there was to the cross and resurrection. The cross and resurrection simply became the means for everything else. It wasn't the end, it was the beginning. It wasn't the completed provision, it was the foundation. We need to get a hold of that. We need to get a hold of that. And here's an example of the difference between faith and hope. Romans 8, 22 through 25. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Anybody ever felt any of that? Now we're talking the natural realm, right? Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, so now we're talking into the spiritual realm, groan inwardly. See, our spirit's not groaning anymore. You need to know that. Our spirit is alive and free. We sang it this morning, right? He's alive, he's alive, and then we sang, I'm alive, I'm alive. That's right, because he's alive and I'm in him, I'm alive too with him. Amen? So, who have received the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Isn't that what we're longing for? I mean, I don't know how many times I've heard people going through hard times. They're going, man, I just hope Jesus comes back soon. You know. Now, I do want to say another part of that. If they understand these principles of faith, they're going to realize some of them things they're groaning over, they do have victory over already. They just need to know how to apply the Word of God to get that victory. And sometimes I think we groan a whole lot more than we need to. We do. Verse 24, for in this, what's the word? Hope. In this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all, right? Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So there it is. Faith believes I've got it. Hope says I'm still waiting for it. Faith says I've got it in the spiritual realm. Hope says I'm still waiting on it in the physical realm. Now we're going to eventually get there. We're not going to get there right away because I want to develop some things. But you need to know that what you got in the spiritual realm, there is a means to get it to the physical realm. And we're going to talk about some of those things as we go along. All right? But for now, if you haven't received the redemption of your physical body, then how do you know for sure you've received salvation? Anybody? Faith. What? Faith? Man, them scientists are going to chop you apart. Faith. It's through believing what God's word says, right? God said it, I believe it. That puts an end to it, period. Okay? So then faith is the spiritual substance that exists within your heart that believes you actually possess salvation right now in the spiritual realm, even though through hope you are still waiting to receive that salvation in the natural realm. So now in addition to substance, notice the other part of Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is also evidence of something. What is it evidence of? Things not seen. So faith is the evidence that comes into our heart, which says God's word is true, and what it says is real, even though we have not personally observed it or experienced it. Right? So God's word says, by his stripes you have been healed. You have been. It's past tense. You know why it's past tense? Because Jesus died, rose from the dead, it's bought and paid for. He's at the right hand of the Father, and he holds that healing in his hand, and he's willing to get it down to this earth. If you'll reach out in faith, lay hold of that healing and bring it home. Right? Or those finances. What, Pastor? Oh, yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are some conditions. And this is what happens. So many people look at life on this plane. They don't meet the conditions that the Word of God says because of fear or because of unbelief or doubt even. That they don't do what the Word of God says to do in order to apply the principles that the Word of God teaches, in order to lay hold of what the provision that's been made in heaven is, so that we can get it here in the earth. See, that's what a lot of the church doesn't want to hear. Because they say, well, salvation's by faith, not by works. Yes, it is. But you need to understand something. Faith without works is dead. See, we're not talking that coming into salvation. We're talking about the fact that we've got salvation, so therefore we have a measure of faith already imparted within us. Now we have to take that measure of faith and we have to apply it by believing what God's Word says. And if you really believe what God's Word says, then you're going to do what God's Word says. And when you do what God's Word says, because you believe what God's Word says, then you get what God's Word says. And not until. And many Christians just want to walk around with their hands like, oh, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. Well, that's the first step. I'm glad you do. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But if you never do anything with that Word, then you're going to keep getting what you've got. You know, it's almost like the, I hate to say it like this, but it's, you know, the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same things again and again, hoping to get different results, right? And I don't mean that disrespectfully in any way, shape, or form. But how many times do we do that? We keep doing the same things over and over and over again, thinking somehow that's next time it's going to get better results. Not if it's not according to the Word of God, okay? So, how many of you have ever seen Jesus or experienced talking with him in his physical form? No? But how many of you believe in Jesus Christ? Why do you believe in Jesus? The Word of God, right? Man, your people sound like people of faith. I don't know. How many of you believe that Jesus died and paid the price for sin and then rose from the dead, therefore overcoming sin and death? But how many of you have personally observed Jesus' crucifixion and then after his death personally saw him live again and saw the scars in his hands and feet? Anybody? Okay. Why do you believe those pieces of information? Yeah. The Bible says so, right? How many said that? Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They're weak, but we are strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. We teach them faith even from this age, do we not? Therefore, even though we have not observed something or experienced something with our natural senses that is stated in God's Word, faith in God's Word, listen, is the evidence that exists within our heart that proves to us that what God says is true, it's real, and it does in fact exist. And so as I shared last week, faith is believing information we have received from God's Word, even though we have not observed it or experienced that information with our natural senses. Therefore, when God's Word tells us that we do in fact possess something, or that something is true even though we have not observed it or have not experienced it with our natural senses, faith in what God's Word says is both substance of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of what we have not seen. Does that help you understand faith a little bit better? I hope it does, if you didn't understand that clearly. That's why when people say, yes, I'm healed, but they haven't yet, it hasn't yet manifested in their physical body, this causes a lot of people to think, that person is just, you know, loony-toony. They've lost it now. And they think they're being hypocritical. They think they're just being, you know, silly. But what you don't understand is that that person is looking at it in the spiritual dimension. And because they're making that declaration, as we're going to see, that declaration is a means to say, I believe God's word even more than what I feel in my body at the moment. I believe the truth over the facts. Right? The facts are the natural realm. The truth is the spiritual realm. What we've got to do is get the truth to be the facts. But until it does, you are going to have to declare with your mouth the truth in spite of the facts that you may see, touch, taste, smell, or hear. And that's why Christians walk around to a lot of people looking kind of weird at times, if they understand these principles of faith. Because the Bible says, the man or the woman without the Spirit of God cannot understand the things of God because they are foolishness to them. It's because they're discerned by that which is spiritual, not just that which is natural. And the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit. So for the natural man to hear somebody say, I'm healed, and they're still walking around with a limp, it makes no sense to them. And the problem is, even in the church, we deal with carnality all the time. And so even though we're spiritual, seated in heavenly places, we allow what our senses say to dictate more to us than what the Word of God says, what the Spirit of God says. And so we literally, carnality means fleshly, right? A carnivore is a meat eater. So, and you've heard me say this before, so I said, somebody who's walking as a Christian in carnality is really functioning as a meathead. Is that not true? Fleshly, minded thinking, right? That's what I'm saying. Fleshly thinking. So how many meatheads we got in the house? I hope not too many. Okay. All right. So how many got a little better understanding of faith? I'm just going to leave you with that today. I want you to chew on that this week. The difference between faith and hope and what you're laying hold of. And I hope this whets your appetite enough today that you'll want to come back next week, because I'm going to start laying out more how this works, how this functions. Because God wants us to live by faith. Doesn't that what the Bible says? That we as Christians live by faith, not by sight. And too many times we in the Christian church have been guilty of walking more by our senses of what we observe and what we experience than we do believing what God's Word says. And we wonder why we're not receiving what God wants to give us. So in the next few weeks, you know, I'm in this series on spiritual gifts. I'm just going to take just a minute. I want to share my heart with you. I'm going to try to do better with you all to not hold you in here for an extra half an hour. So I may be in a position where I'm going to have to start taking messages that I've got about one set up that's probably two or three and work your way through it. So if we don't get through all the spiritual gifts this year because we're coming into the holidays and so we've got to shift gears, then it may be something we have to come back to in another year. We'll just trust that God's going to give us what we need. But I just, in my spirit, I think you've got enough food for 1 week. If you can set and ponder on the difference between faith and hope, and you can learn that faith is how we lay hold of what God has provided, even though we haven't experienced it yet, in the week or two, the next week or two, I'm going to try to show you how you can take that faith and begin to lay hold of, in the spiritual realm, what you're believing so that you're experiencing it in the natural realm. Anybody want to learn more about that? I know I need to learn more about that myself. But I am, and I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it. Amen? All right. Well, what I want to challenge you this week then is as you go out, I want you to begin seeking God and saying, Lord, show me where I am more focused on things that I see than what you've said in your word. I'm going to tell you one area that this gets real nitty-gritty and really gets some people really irritated in the church. And that's with this thing right here. I'll tell you what, you get control over that by faith, you're on the road in the right direction. Seriously. Because the Word of God's pretty clear, is it not? About giving. It says, give and you shall receive. Press down, you know. Give. The measure that you give with will be the measure that comes back to you. Press down, shaken together, running over. But so many people in the church, and I'm not saying this church, but many people in the church aren't tithing. And they're coming up with lots of different reasons. But I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God, you know, Jesus said it with the Pharisees. They give a tenth of their, you know, spices or whatever. And he says, you know, basically he condemns them for their tithing because their attitude towards people stinks. They're not merciful. They're not caring. And Jesus said, you should not negate the former for the latter. Some people have got this idea that tithing is an Old Testament principle. Oh, no, it's not. It's just like it was the basis. If anything in the New Testament, it goes beyond the tithe. Okay? Just like what Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount about adultery. You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. Jesus said, I tell you, if a man looks at a woman lustfully in his heart, he's committed adultery already. Did the standard get lesser or higher? Higher. Murder? You've heard it said you shouldn't murder. I tell you, if you hold aught towards your brother, hatred, bitterness, you've murdered them already. Standard go higher or lower? Okay? Now, did he negate you shouldn't murder somebody? Did he negate that you shouldn't commit adultery? Did he negate that you shouldn't tithe? That's just the bottom standard, folks. And because people say, well, that doesn't count anymore, baloney. That's just the base point. It goes higher than that. And it is in giving monetarily, but it's giving in mercy. It's giving in compassion. It's giving of your time, talent, and treasure. It's all of it. Jesus, didn't he say that? If you're going to be my disciple, you cannot be my disciple unless you take up your cross and follow me. Unless you hate your father, mother, sister, and brother, etc., you cannot be my disciple. He wasn't saying hate, in as we would think of hate. He was saying, listen, your love, your commitment, your devotion to me has to be so complete, so full, that there's no comparison. It looks like hate to anybody else, how devoted you are to me. Unless you give up everything you have to follow me, you cannot be my disciple. There's the principle, right? Anybody want to be a disciple? Now again, we wring our hands and, oh no, what are we going to do? Then you're walking by sight and not by faith. But if you apply God's principles, and again, I realize I'm just applying this in one area. I could apply this in other areas. I could apply this in healing. I could apply this to relationships. I could apply this to wisdom, what have you. There are various, you want to get what God says you can have, you got to do it God's way. And when we give in to our own reasoning rather than God's reasoning, and which is, listen, is by the natural plane and not the spiritual plane, we won't do what God says to do. If you want to be blessed of God so that you can be a blessing, you need to be a giver, a tither and a giver. Just that simple. I ain't even going to apologize for that one. And I'm not one of these pastors. You know, for heaven's sakes, folks, I work full time. We're taking a stipend now, trying to get ready for full-time ministry. I've been doing this for 5 years, and I don't take a paycheck. And that's not to blow my own trumpet. I will tell you, it's because I am committed to seeing this body of believers succeed in the kingdom of God. And I'll be a tent maker, like Paul said he was, to protect the body as long as it takes until this we can be supported to be able to do this full time. So please don't insult me with being a money-hungry, greedy pastor who's just trying to get in your hip pocket. I am not. I am actually more concerned about you than I am my hip pocket, because I know the Word of God and I believe it by faith, and it says that if you want to receive, you need to give. Period. And to the measure that you do it is the measure that you will receive. If you're not receiving, that's my point today. Then do we need to, is that one of the things we need to ask ourselves in faith, am I really believing God's word in faith so that it takes, I actually do what it says in order to receive what God says I can have? That's just one area, folks. But this is what I would like you to do this week. I would like you to begin to seek God. I can't be up here. I'm just using one example. Now, if I happen to hit on your example, I'm so sorry. Actually, I'm not, because it's going to do you good. Okay? But if I didn't touch on your thing that you've not believed God and you've not obeyed His word in because you're looking at it with these rather than believing what this says, this week I want to challenge you. Get before God and say, Lord, where have my eyes fallen to the natural realm? And I'm only looking at my natural circumstances, and I'm not believing you for what your word says, because I, with my eyes, just don't see that it's possible. And so I'm doing it my own way. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, that's a formula for disaster. It's a formula for disaster. So this week, seek God. Seek Him for where He wants to speak to you, and where you need to get into the Word of God about an area maybe you're struggling in, and ask yourself, be honest with yourself and God and say, God, is the reason I'm struggling because I've been doing it my own way and I've been doing it by what seems reasonable to my own understanding rather than doing what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Amen? Amen. If you would like ministry this morning, we'll be available to pray with you. Maybe you have an area that you want to come up and allow us to minister to you in. I will say this. Sometimes the Bible says to confess our sins to one another, right? Now, really, I think you just don't go do that with any old person. But in terms of the leadership of the church, that can honestly, folks, that could be a step of faith for you today. You could say, you could come, you know, obviously we're not going to go spread your mail, but you could come and to Dawn and I and say, Pastor, this is an area where I already know the Spirit of God's dealing with me today, that I'm not walking in faith. I'm fearful. I'm concerned. I don't see how I can get out of this thing. I don't know how to deal with this. But today I'm confessing to you, I'm not doing what I know God wants me to do, and I'm determined to do it His way. I'm not going to do it my way any longer. You know, that's called repentance. And then I'll tell you what, we will pray a prayer of blessing over you and see what God's going to do in the days ahead with that thing. Amen? Amen. And if we start getting enough people, Jason and Karen, just come on up. Judy, would you play in there?